Welcome to installment 66 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. We will conclude our discussion of positive commandment 153, the commandment to sanctify the new moon and declare the leap years, and we'll begin our discussion of positive commandment 59, the commandment to blow the chatzetzres, or trumpets. In our discussion over the last few days of positive commandment 153, we explained how Jewish months are lunar months, based on the appearance of the moon. When the moon first appears, this is the first day of the month, whereas by the last day of the month, the moon is completely invisible. Since the lunar month is an uneven number of days, therefore sometimes we will have a month with 29 days and sometimes with 30 days. And in order to determine which month is which, we need to determine when the moon first appears. There are a number of ways of doing this, by astronomical calculation, cheshbein, or alpiriya, by testimony of witnesses who have seen the appearance of the moon. This determination, however it is made, cannot be done by an individual, as the Rambam says that this commandment is much different from that of observing a Shabbos, that the Sabbath day can be determined by counting 6 days, and every individual knows that the seventh is Shabbos, whereas the month must be determined by the Jewish court, not an individual, only by members of the great Sanhedrin, and only in the land of Israel. So too the determination of the year, that since the lunar year is 11 some odd days shorter than the solar year, if we would always count 12 lunar months, we would end up eventually with the holiday of Passover, for example, falling out in the winter, since the holiday would always come out to be earlier in the year. Therefore, leap years are periodically added with an extra month, as the verse says, L'chodesh ha'shana, for the months of the year, that we must add an entire month. And this makes all of the holidays fall out in the proper season as well. This month is added on immediately before the month of Nisan, of Pesach, as the verse says, L'mayada, in its proper season, or in the holiday, referring to the holiday of Pesach. Therefore, the 13th leap month is added on immediately before Nisan. And here again, an individual cannot determine that the lunar calendar is too out of kilter, and a leap month must be added, it again must be done by the Jewish court. Today, just as a result of the cessation of the temple in Jerusalem, we can no longer bring sacrifices, so too we can no longer make our determination of the lunar months and of the leap years. And this is the mistake that Rambam says of the Karoim, the Karaites, as well as others that think that this determination can be made even outside of Israel. In reality, it was done on rare occasions, that when there was a sage outside Israel, when there was no one of comparable stature in the land of Israel, it could be done, as the Talmud tells us about the Rabbi Akiva and in other scattered places. However, these were very rare exceptions to the rule that only in cases of great dire need was the calendar determined based on calculations or observations made outside Israel. How then do we determine the calendar today? And this is of utmost importance for a Jew, in that all of the holidays, with the exception perhaps of Shavuos, but the holiday of Rosh Hashanah falls out on the first day of the month, and Yom Kippur falls on the 10th day of the month. And to know this, we must know which is the first day of the month, obviously. If we can only determine the calendar in the land of Israel, how today can we observe the holidays? The Rambam says this is a tremendously important principle, that we do not use our own calculations and astronomical determination to figure out when the month begins, since it can only be done by a court in the land of Israel. And as the commentaries explain, this court must have ordination, must be qualified to sit on the great Sanhedrin. And this, of course, we no longer have today, since this ordination, tracing back to the days of Moses, has already ceased. However, our calendar has already been determined in the days of the Sanhedrin by Reb Hillel HaNasi, who made, using astronomical calculations, he has made a perpetual calendar lasting until the Messianic age to know when it is that the first day of the month shall appear and when it is that a leap month must be added to even out the lunar year with the solar year. The Rambam quotes the Talmudic tractate Rosh Hashanah, which states, Asher Tikru Esam, that they are the ones to determine the month, that the Jewish court has the ability to determine the calendar, and they have exclusive power to do so. And furthermore, even should they make a mistake unintentionally, and even should they be forced to make a falsified determination of the month, and as the Talmud adds, which the Rambam doesn't quote here, but even should they intentionally falsify this declaration, nevertheless, it still is an effective declaration, and the month becomes as they have determined. And since the court has been given this prerogative, therefore, Reb Hillel HaNasi determined for all ages that our calendar should be in such and such a fashion. And when we make our calculations to determine when the first of the month is, this is not in order to actually fix the calendar. We merely use the same method of calculation that Reb Hillel HaNasi did, and thereby find out what it is that he determined. A Gilui Milsa, just to reveal what he has already determined, as the Rambam terms it. And the Rambam adds another point over here, that this calculation that we make to determine this that Hillel HaNasi has determined is still only effective as long as there are Jews living in the land of Israel. However, we have been promised that our nation shall never be cut off from the land of Israel, and therefore it is only a theoretical question. Theoretically, if there would no longer be Jews in Israel, we would not be able to rely on Reb Hillel HaNasi's calculations. Since the verse says, Ki Mitzian Teitzis Seira, that from the land of Israel is where Torah emanates from. However, since we have been promised that Jews will always be there, we can rely on Reb Hillel HaNasi's calendar. This is at least the way the Chassam Sefer explains the intention of the Rambam here. The Rambam adds some hints we have in the Torah about how the determination must be made. One verse says, Miyomim Yomima, from day to day, meaning the declaration must be made in the daytime. Another verse says, Chedesh Yomim, a month of days, which teaches us that the month cannot be constituted of days and fractions of days. It must be full days, either 29 or 30 days. And so too, a verse says, Chedesh Ha'aviv, in the spring month, which teaches us that we cannot go exclusively by our lunar determinations, but also must make sure that our holidays are in the proper time corresponding to the solar calendar, that they should all fall out in the proper seasons, as Passover must be in Chedesh Ha'aviv in the spring. The details of this commandment are discussed in the first chapter of Sanhedrin and tractates Rosh Hashanah and Brachas. The second commandment of today's portion is positive commandment 59, the blowing of the Chatzetzreis, or trumpets. These trumpets were blown on various occasions, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gives two separate situations in which the trumpets had to be blown. One of them was when the sacrifices were brought on the holidays in the Beis HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem, or as the Rambam adds in his legal code, on Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the Jewish month as well. When these sacrifices were brought, the Kohanim would blow these trumpets at that time, and were accompanied also by the singing of the Levim. The Chinuch explains the purpose of this blowing of the trumpet at the time of the sacrifices by explaining that there is a necessity to have tremendous concentration at the time of the sacrifices. One's thoughts must be directed only towards the sacrifice. There are many laws, in fact, regulating the thoughts that the Kohen must have who is involved in the actual preparation of the sacrifice. He must muster a tremendous amount of concentration and arousal in order to properly bring the sacrifice. And the best way to arouse this sort of state is through song, says the Chinuch. Through melody and through the blowing of musical instruments, one can concentrate one's thoughts. And that has the second advantage of isolating one's thoughts from worldly things, to remove them from things he should not be thinking about, and to properly direct his attention towards what he must be thinking about. This is all one of the two aspects of blowing the trumpet. The other one is at a time of trouble, at a time of need. As the Talmud says, Mitzvahs Hayim Bechatzetzreis, that on a day of fasting, as a result of an unfortunate occurrence which has happened to the community, one blows these trumpets. And this is as a sign as of our crying out to God, and as we are commanded to do so at any time of trouble or any time of communal danger, that when we cry out to Hashem in our prayers, we should have them accompanied by the blowing of these trumpets, as discussed in the Sifri and tractates Rosh Hashanah and Tainis. The blowing of the trumpets had the same desired effect, or at least a similar effect, when it comes to the idea of crying out to Hashem at a time of need, that since we must arouse ourselves to a state of tshuva, of repentance, on such a time of need, as the Rambam explains at length in his legal code, and we will, God willing, discuss more in tomorrow's Shira Sefer HaMitzvahs. Therefore, in order to properly arouse ourselves to such a state, we have the blast of the trumpet in order to inspire us in such a fashion and direct our attentions and emotions towards self-improvement and tshuva, in order that our fasting or our prayers should be properly received. Incidentally, as the order of Sefer HaMitzvahs has been set up according to the Rambam's legal code, the order in which he there established the mitzvah of Chatzetzres, of blowing the trumpets, does not correspond to the law of the sacrifices, but rather to the Rambam's Hilchos Tainius, the laws of fasting. And this is the one commandment involved in the laws of fasting out of the 613, the idea of blowing the trumpets at the time of communal fast, as we will explain again in Mirtz Hashem at more length tomorrow.